Many of us know the story of the Buddha's childhood. Siddhartha Gautama was born in ancient India about 490 BCE. And the legend has it that he had everything he could possibly want because his parents were wealthy. But Siddhartha was also sheltered because his parents wanted to shield him from anything distressing or uncomfortable, unpleasant in the world. And so they kept him in relative confinement. But as they say, you can't keep a good prince down. And eventually, as Siddhartha grew into adulthood, he slipped away one day. And sure enough, very quickly, he saw exactly what his parents had hoped he would never see. He saw a sick person. He saw an old person. He saw a dead person. And he was shocked and saddened by this. And he felt a deep pain in him that he had never felt before. Well, soon after that, he met an ascetic who, even though he was poor and destitute, had found a way to be serene and happy. And so Siddhartha decided to leave his home and his family and to go and become an ascetic himself. And he did that for several years. Then he decided that that was more likely to lead him to death rather than enlightenment. And so he chose a different path, and he began to focus on mindful awareness as well as contemplation. And that was the path that led him to enlightenment, as the story goes, under the Bodhi tree. And the Buddha said later, Buddha meaning the awakened one, he said later that the key to his attaining enlightenment, that sublime peace, was direct knowledge. It was the understanding that he had gained through immediate and personal experience of life. So in other words, he needed to endure the pain in order to find his freedom. You know, his parents were very well intended, but that idea of sheltering him and trying to keep him from ever feeling pain just didn't work. Well, we hear this, and we know that this makes sense. We know that it's futile to think that we can go through life and never experience any pain. And yet, we live our lives often exactly that way. We avoid pain. We avoid our pain at all costs. We deny it. We ignore it. We repress it. We postpone it. We pretend it isn't there. We are masters at pain avoidance. But here's the problem. It doesn't work. It doesn't make the pain go away. And in fact, the more we avoid it, the more pain we create. Well, in his wonderful book, The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer says that we all have deep pain within us. He calls it our inner thorn. It's a place of great sensitivity that, if pressed on, creates a lot of pain for us. We may actually have several of these inner thorns. We have many sensitivities. We may be sensitive to rejection or abandonment, loneliness. We may be sensitive about our physical appearance, our income level, our intelligence, whatever it is. It's our sore spot. It's our tender place. And it is like an inner thorn within us. And so Michael Singer says we have two options for how we deal with this inner thorn. We can either make sure that nothing ever touches it, or we can remove it. So let's take the first strategy and examine that a little bit. Let's imagine what it's like if we focus our life on avoiding our pain and making sure that nothing triggers it. So we'll use a hypothetical example. This is built on something he uses in the book. So I'd like you to imagine for a moment, we're taking this really literally, that you have a thorn, an external thorn, and you have it right here in your chest, sticking out. And this thorn is highly sensitive. If anyone touches that, whew, pain just goes right through you. And so you must be very, very careful in your life so that nothing touches this. You know, everything you do, you must be aware of keeping that protected. So, for example, if you're walking through the woods, you got to clear all the branches and the underbrush, make sure that nothing's going to touch your thorn. You need to purchase certain clothes that keep you safe and protected. Make sure nothing's rubbing up against that. When you sleep at night, you need to be careful that you don't sleep in a position that's going to jostle that thorn and cause you any pain. Well, it only gets more complicated when other people enter the picture. Suppose you fall in love. Well, you have this thorn sticking out of your chest, and it's kind of a big deal. Immediately, you must train this person that you love on what they can and can't do, how close they can be, right? You want to train them in what they can say and not say. You really kind of need to give them lessons so that this doesn't get triggered, including, for example, I'm not going to hug you like this. We're going to have to do a little side hug or maybe a little half hug, all to keep this protected. Well, of course, if that were true and you were at Unity, you'd have to train a lot of us to not hug you. But even in your own life, if this were the case, you would have to train all your friends. Okay, here's how I need you to behave around me. Here's what I need you to do so that you don't trigger any pain in me. And before you know it, it's affected everything. This thorn in you, this place of pain, is affecting your decisions, your relationships, your social life, your work life, and all of your personal habits. It's really pretty much taken over your life. It is the focal point. Everything is built around that. So let's take it from the hypothetical for a moment to a literal and real life example, which I will share from my own life. When I was a little girl, my mother would often take me to the grocery store with her. We'd go grocery shopping together. And she wanted me to have the opportunity to feel kind of grown up and useful. So as she was pushing the cart down the aisle, she would look at the grocery list and say, would you like to go get, let's say, the milk on another aisle? And I would say, of course, yes, I would love to go get the milk. So off I would go to the other side of the store, and I would get the milk, and I would come back to that aisle. And she wasn't there. And then I would walk down, looking down the next one. I'd look down the next aisle, and she wasn't there. I'd go to the next aisle, and she still wasn't there. Well, now my little seven-year-old heart is just racing. I feel very frightened that Mommy has left me. It's not rational, but the feeling was very, very real. Well, of course, eventually I found her, and she just skipped a few aisles because she didn't need anything on those aisles. But nevertheless, that feeling kind of stayed buried inside of me. Simple, simple example. So let's fast forward several decades. Richard and I are walking down the concourse to go to our gate, and I say to Richard, I need to use the ladies' room. I go into the ladies' room. There's a very long line there, as there often is. Richard is waiting outside, and pretty soon he gets a little restless. He decides he's going to walk off a little ways, and oh, there's the electronics store. So he ducks into the electronics store, and he's looking at all the fancy things in there. I come out of the bathroom, and he's gone. Where did he go? And instantly, I am transformed into the seven-year-old looking for Mommy. I feel that same feeling of panic, and I know it's not rational. I know he's there somewhere. But I still have that moment of feeling abandoned. And so what do? When I see Richard, I say to him, look, I need you to do me a favor. Whenever I go into the restroom like that, I want you to stand right here by the door and do not wander off. Because when you do that, then I come out and I feel this sense of fear. I know it doesn't make any sense, but would you please just do that for me? Well, Richard's a very accommodating person. And so he says, sure, he'll do that. But look at what I have just done. I have now taken my inner thorn and given it as well to him. You see, this thing that I'm not wanting to face in me, I have now dumped on him so that he must now also be aware of tippy-toeing around that. So rather than doing anything to avoid the pain, I have actually shared the pain. Now let's take this to the extreme. Now, if it was a really big deal, and I promise you it is not a big deal, okay, but if it was really a big deal for me, I would have to go around to everyone I know, anyone I am ever walking past a ladies' room with, and say, look, when I go into the bathroom, I want you to stand right here. Do not leave, because I don't want to feel that old feeling inside of me. Well, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. But let's apply it to something a little bit bigger. Let's apply it to something you feel sensitive about. Maybe it's a sore subject you've told your friends not to bring up around you. Maybe it's something that you don't want to talk about. Some behavior you don't want to witness. And you're really saying, don't do anything that's going to trigger my unfinished business. You're essentially saying, if you care for me, you will adjust your behavior so that you never touch my soft spots, and I will do the same for you. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be considerate of one another. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be compassionate toward what your partner is feeling or experiencing. But what I am saying is that for any of us who is noticing pain coming up, to not make it our go-to strategy to now try to control everyone and everything out there so that we don't get hurt. Rather, make your go-to strategy facing it and moving through it. And this brings us to the second option of how we deal with our inner thorns, which is remove them. Well, how do we do that? We do it by acknowledging what is coming up for us, by feeling that pain, and by walking right into it. Rather than running away from it, we're going to walk right through it. This, of course, is what Siddhartha did, is it not? He witnessed this pain and deprivation, and he went right into it, full feeling, I'm going to experience that. And the same for Jesus. When he knew and accepted his fate, I will walk into this. And he stepped right up into his own crucifixion. You know, these spiritual masters teach us about how to face our pain, but they also show us what's on the other side of it. Whether it's resurrection or enlightenment, or peace, freedom. So if we want to follow in their footsteps, the very first thing to do is to accept that this pain is in us and it's not something we can avoid. It's like our Garden of Gethsemane moment. You know, maybe tempted there at the start to say, oh, wait a minute, is there any way around this? Is there any other thing I can do to not feel this? Father, take this cup from me. But then we realize, no, this is what is. I must accept it. I must face it and go into it. And then we allow our feelings. We allow our feelings to come up and we let ourselves feel them. I imagine there were many strong feelings for Jesus, as we know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, many strong feelings in the Buddha as he was living the ascetic life. We let the feelings come up and we just go into them. In our own lives, we might do something like, you know, journaling, even writing down, I'm feeling really sad today, I'm feeling really frustrated, whatever it is, angry. Write it down, go into it. Feel it intensely. And then open yourself to the grace of God. Because the grace of God is thy will, not my will be done. The grace of God will see you through this journey to the other side. And there we do find our freedom. So I've been working on much of this in my own life. As I mentioned last week, I'm moving into my grieving over the loss of my mother almost exactly a year ago. And I'm realizing that when I have that sadness come up in me, that I need to feel that. I need to really feel that. If it means tears, if it means conversing with her, "Mom, I miss you so much," whatever it is, I move into it, and then I notice that it passes. And it passes a little more quickly than I'm expecting sometimes. You know, we always fear having this emotional episode because we feel like it's going to be so huge. But really, it comes and it goes. You know, the wonderful neuroscientist Jill Bolte Taylor said, "It only takes about 90 seconds for a wave of emotion to pass through you." She says it comes in with a very strong surge, but then it subsides. It may come back again, but again it will subside. And each time we do our work of breathing and centering ourselves, being with it, letting it come and let it pass. Have you ever had someone say, maybe you've said this yourself, "I'm afraid to start crying because if I start, I'm afraid I won't stop"? That's a very poignant thing to hear, isn't it? But it's also a ruse. It actually can be a very effective avoidance strategy, because the truth is, you will stop. You absolutely will stop. You may go pretty low, but you will come back. It's not going to go on forever. See, we tell ourselves these things so that we don't have to feel the feelings. And you know, I've been amazed. The times I've done this in my own life where I've decided, okay, I'm really sad. I'm just going to cry now. You ever done this? I'm just going to cry. I'm just going to let it all out. Close the doors. Here I go. Right? Sob, 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 sob. You do that for a few moments, and then you're kind of done. You know, you kind of feel like, well, I had so much pain in me, I should keep on crying, but you know, kind of finish with that, you know? I'm getting a little bit bored. I'm telling you, you feel your feelings intensely, and then they pass. And then you're ready for what's next. I'm not suggesting that this is an easy process. It's a spiritual practice that we can learn. And the other thing is to remember, when you're going through your pain or whatever it is you've decided to face and you're letting it finally come up, your old 7-year-old issues or, you know, whatever issues when you were a 7-year-old, whatever it is, remember that the person who is experiencing those emotions is not the all of you. You see, that's not even who you truly and most deeply are. You are what is conscious and aware of what is happening. You are the observer who is watching you as you cry your eyes out, as you grab a tennis racket and start beating the cushion on the sofa to release your anger, as you rip up a hurtful letter into 1,000 pieces and throw it away. While you're going through this, your higher self, your higher awareness is there, tenderly holding you. This is the watcher holding sacred space for you to move into your pain and come out of it on the other side. You see, this is the love you seek. This is the security that you are after. It is who you truly are, and it is there the whole time. Pain really is the price of freedom. In the cliched way it's said is, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain, you know that? Anything you've tried to do, you've set out to do in your life, requires some effort. And certainly if in that work you need additional help, you may want to get a counselor or a therapist to help you root out the pain in you. You may want to join a recovery group or a support group. You may want to amp up your spiritual practice, whatever it is. But your decision is that you're going through this. You're going after it. And by golly, you're going to come out the other side. Michael Singer says that real transformation begins when you embrace your problems as agents for growth. Don't you just love it when people say things like this, like, yeah, I know this is tough, but just think how strong you're going to be after you come through this, right? This is going to round out your character. Think how compassionate you will be after you've endured whatever it is you're going through. It may be a little annoying to hear those things, but it's absolutely true. If you think back on your life to your hardest times, they were the springboards for your greatest growth. No question about it. Doesn't always make it easier as you're going through it, but you can have that memory, and it can give you the faith to take the walk that you must take. Michael Singer says, "You do not want this stuff inside your heart to feel great love and freedom, to find the presence of God within you. All of this stored pain must go. It must go. It must be released so that you are set free, so that you can live fully and, oh, by the way, experience life's joys even more deeply." As cliche as it sounds, after the rain comes the rainbow. After the breakdown comes the breakthrough. After the dark night of the soul comes the glorious light of a new day. Let's prepare now for meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes if you wish. Let's take a deep breath in. Release and let go. Let go, let go. One more time, a deep breath in. And release into peace. Release into that beautiful, vast consciousness in you, that sweet awareness of your own life and your own journey. Breathe into the presence of spirit within you and feel the love that is there and the comfort and the support. And allow yourself to just be that for a moment, to let go of all the outer problems, just fall back behind them into the one presence, one power in all of us. From this vantage point, this higher perspective in you, I invite you to imagine that you are sitting on a mountaintop. And from this view, you see little you down below. And you see dark clouds coming every once in a while, a dark cloud of a problem or a concern or a pain unresolved. And your higher self sends love to little you, so that as that dark cloud comes, and even when for a while you are consumed by it, you feel it, you embrace it for the lessons that are there, and then you let it go. And then this dark cloud passes on. And the sun looks a little bit brighter. Everything is a little more vibrant and sweet. And your higher self just beams love down to this brave soul here on earth, moving through these dark clouds one after another, and opening in the most amazing ways to full life. I invite you to feel that spirit in you, to connect with the observer within you, to feel that great sense of peace as you turn within in the silence. We breathe in and remember that the pain that we fear is seldom as scary as what we think it is, that no pain can take us down. No pain can take us off our mountaintop. We feel ourselves inspired by the Buddha and Jesus and others who've gone before us, showing what happens when we stand in our truth, when we summon our courage and do what we must do. Thank you, God, for this shared journey of spiritual awakening. Thank you for the ups and the downs. And so it is. Amen.